You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season three of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
We all want to believe, and there are many things in this life and in this world that we will not understand. There are things that have happened to me that I can't explain. I have seen things. And do I see shadows? Do I see ghosts? Yes. Does it scare the living bejesus out of me every time? Yes. I shit my pants. Jesus, what the fuck was that?
Of course he's back, baby. He had to be back. That's my Uncle Dennis. He is a medium and reader originally from Massachusetts, who now practices in the Carolinas. He was my introduction to spiritualism, and there's no one I trust more to take me on a journey through spiritualism to reach its logical end.
I'm not one of these people that says, do we talk to the dead? See, that's where I divert, because I don't necessarily think we talk to the dead as much as they can send us messages. And one of the best ways to do that is to be aware of the message that they're sending. You have to be aware of the kinds of messages that are sent to you. And that's all I'm really doing. When you read tarot, or anybody reads tarot, and like I said, I don't know who's going to hear this, but I know you're going to get a lot of hate mail. Thank you very much, because I really don't give a fuck. It's a question of understanding and taking away this mystique so that people can start to help themselves and use these things. A good reader will never tell you what to do. They'll present information. That's all they're going to do.
Welcome to the final episode of Ghost Church for now. Today, we're going to take a step back and take a look at some loose ends in Casadega, in spiritualism, and with you and me, of course, the little parasocial devil relationship we've formed.
There are people out there that pretend to do what they're doing. And I've done parties, and I've done a lot of different things. And what I'll do at a party is I'll say to somebody, who thinks they're the least psychic person here? You know, and everybody, me, okay, whoever. And I'll have them stand up in front of these people, and I'll whisper in their ear, this is what you're going to say. This is what you're going to say. You got five people in front of you. You're sensing the letter R. Now, you never said a name. You never said it was male. You never said it was female. You're sensing the letter R. It's almost guaranteed that somebody in that audience says, oh, my father's name was Richard. Well, thank you, because I never said it was your father. I never said it was male, and I never said the name was Richard. You must be the fucking psychic. Because you gave me all the information. So you can say just about anything. And one of the favorite things is somebody has a piece of jewelry. You know how easy it is to expand on this stuff? This is why I get angry, because you're playing on people. You're using these tricks, if you will. I'm not using tricks at all. I'm laying down a card and I'm saying to you, this is what the card means. This is what the number means. This is what the symbol means.
I like my Uncle Dennis's attitude towards spiritualism. It really has informed my own as I've worked on this show. He holds this core belief in life after death, with a desire to sniff out bullshit that's hurting people. Because that's the problem, right? the stuff that hurts people, the stuff I can't prove that brings people peace in a way that they have some control over, hell yeah, go for it. But one thing it's hard to not understand is why there's so much frustration around the idea of mediums and psychics in general, because there are some dark roads. I'm thinking particularly of psychics that capitalize on the grief of others, grieving parents, grieving siblings, grieving children, who collude with the police and make big entertainment deals.
I lost my boyfriend tragically a few years ago. They never found him. And I've had such a hard time since, every day.
The reason why you didn't find him is because he's in water. And find him in water, it's like the girl is missing in Aruba. You can't find somebody.
Well, it was September 11th. There was no, he was a fireman, but.
Yes. Does this girl look familiar to you?
Yes, she does. I worked this case.
This is a girl who you said was beaten and killed.
Okay.
This little girl is me. And you told somebody that she's dead.
Wait a minute. You didn't disappear?
I'm right here.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
Somebody was known either for working with alcohol or they had a problem with it?
The brother that died.
Okay. And are you guys one of four?
Oh. Yes.
Okay. And out of the four of you, three are similar, one is different?
Yes.
Yes. Your son Brian is calling your brother a bitch.
I don't have a Brian.
No, I'm talking to her. Now,
to be clear, these psychics are not spiritualists or officially affiliated with the American spiritualist movement, but their mediumship plays and is publicly interpreted very similarly. Respectively, those mediums were Sylvia Brown, author of over 40 titles, millionaire, famously told the mother of a missing child that her child had died, something that proved to be false, but the mother died believing it was true. The second person you heard was Lori McQuarrie, who has advised on over 500 cases in her career. The third was John Edward, who we'll get to in a moment. These are some of the meanest people in the world. I absolutely agree. They approach the grieving, not the other way around. They promise results, they promise specificity, and they promise it now in a way that most spiritualist mediums I've met would completely disagree with. These types of mediums play into the popular idea of mediums, ones that can get anyone to come through at will with the exact information you want. There's no hit and there's no miss, just good edits and good hair and good information. I grew up watching mediums like this on TV, and at the time, my mom and I were very into it. I used to watch this medium called John Edward, who's still working now. I've listened to a few of his audiobooks to prepare for this show. Over the years, he's been busted many times. He's been accused of both hot and cold reading extensively, but speaking to the pit in my stomach that started with him, check this anecdote out. Shortly after 9/11, when his show, Crossing Over, a staple with the Loftus women, was at an all-time high in popularity on basic cable, Edward's producers famously convinced grieving families of the victims of 9/11 to come on to the show in order to boost ratings during sweeps. Edward claimed to have no idea, only for a trade magazine to indicate otherwise, and the special was pulled. He was and is a hustler, who spent a good portion of the book I read for this podcast, 2004's Crossing Over, simply defending himself against the huge slew of exposés that had come in, especially a damning one in Time magazine. He tries to play it cool as if they're all haters, saying,
"I feel myself getting less and less angry at the cynics, and more I feel sorry for them."
Okay, well, if there's one thing I've learned from Ghost Church, a lot of smoke usually means something. Especially when the medium is heavily profiting. And this was a guy who draws the line basically nowhere. When it comes to this kind of medium, there's no moral ambiguity. Fuck these people. Absolutely fuck opportunists who prey on people, charge thousands of dollars, and then feel the need to put on a highly publicized show in order to justify their behavior. But here's the complicated thing. Most mediums at Casadega would completely agree with you on that. So without getting all hashtag not all mediums, for this last episode, stop asking yourself whether you believe in communication with the dead or not. Honestly, I don't care what you think about that. What I think matters more are the ethics and the emotions being taken into consideration when someone believes that is happening, which for all their faults, I think is a pretty strong element of modern spiritualism, at least as I've experienced it. Because the impulse to want to find a way to contact the dead as a way of grieving is a human impulse. It's just as human as the impulse that some of the people you just heard speaking have had to exploit that grief for money and clout. It's the same instinct that's inspired artists and writers and filmmakers to explore how death could look. There's a bajillion famous movies and plays and TV about the dead returning with purpose and love and a lot of confusion. Your King Hamlets, your Caspers, your unaired ABC pilot from the late 80s, Puccinski.
Peter Boyle is a tough, ill-mannered cop who is run down in the line of duty. But that's not the end of his story. No. He's reincarnated.
Ha! Surprise!
As a streetwise bulldog in Puccinski.
What are you going to do now?
Well, first I'm going to try licking myself, and then I'm going to catch my killer.
I think the closest thing I've received to a divine gift during the production of this show was someone showing me Puccinski. But speaking to this human impulse to want to explore life after death, American spiritualism very much belongs in that conversation. We've tackled a lot in this series, its intersection with industrialism, with feminism, with science, with colonialism. American spiritualism boils down to an attempt to understand what happens to literally everyone. And the ideas behind it aren't going to work for everyone. And today's spiritualists kind of expand their reach beyond the classics of seances and speaking with the dead. During my time in Casadega, I received messages about relationships with living people, about the future, about spirit guides, about where I'll live, where I won't live, need we remind.
I have no business in the state of Florida. I'm not going to kick you out. I have no business here. Do you live here?
Mm-mm.
Oh, thank God.
Well, geez, Florida, what did I ever do to you? Welcome back, Puccinskis, to our last Floridian communion with the dead. For now. Now that we've healthily established that ACAB includes psychic detectives, let's return to the land of the people's mediums over in Casadega. It's a place where things are changing. The last major shift at the camp came when the boomers arrived during the Vietnam War era, bringing new spiritual ideas and a less rigid commitment to the Christian adjacentness of it all that defined early American spiritualism. So after the turbulence of the early decades at the camp, the fire that nearly destroyed the Hotel Casadega in 1926, moving it into private hands, spiritualism's barely surviving wave after wave of skepticism, the camp took another decisive step in asserting themselves as an independent organization. In 1981, a critical moment came for the camp. Casadega broke from the oldest spiritualist organization in the country, the National Spiritualist Association of Churches, the NSAC. In the book Casadega, the South's Oldest Spiritualist Camp, a camp historian stated that the main reason this was decided was because of differences in opinions on how to certify a medium. This is an understandable, eternal issue within spiritualism. To this day, you'll find spiritualists on their guard about what constitutes a legitimate medium, how one's abilities needs to be witnessed and acknowledged and honed over a period of years. Given the background of spiritualism and of the people during the two major moments for the religion in the mid-19th century and the 1920s, this makes sense. The religion was so thoroughly roasted in the press that other religions with similar beliefs were formed, not as much because of a difference in opinion, but because of a desire to not be involved in all of that. Investigators like Harry Houdini then felt strongly that most mediums were attention-seeking frauds, and it's a baggage that the religion carries to this day. So, yes, there is a pretty direct line you can draw from the Harry Houdinis of the world dedicating their skills to undercutting the mediums of their day to Pastor Deb of Casadega calling me in the airport terminal right before I leave on a plane to Florida to say, just so I know, I haven't actually been approved by the press board of the camp, and I would be informed of how the mediums felt about me 2 weeks later. And so you have to understand, it surprised me when a longtime medium with the camp approached me after my botched adventure to learn more in Casadega's library and invited me to dinner. At this point in my trip, I had learned a lot about spiritualism, but I felt extremely isolated and almost certain that the camp would not approve of the press request I was making and had already invested a ton of time into. So when a medium who first came to Casadega in the 90s came up to me and asked if I was hungry, I said, fuck it. I've been eating at a gas station for 4 days and I don't think these people like me very much. Let's go out to eat. And I got in the car. We end up at a Perkins restaurant. It's my first time there. If you've never been, it's kind of got Floridian Denny's vibes, but with a hell of a pie menu. Highly recommend. The medium I'm with is a regular here, knows everyone by name, everyone knows them. When we sit down, they recommend the soup sandwich pie combo, and I'm so fucking hungry that I would eat all three of those things, throw it back up, and baby bird it back to myself. And as hungry as I am, it occurs to me that this could be an ambush. Because while the mediums in Casadega had been cordial to me during this visit, I was definitely walking on eggshells for the duration. Casadega mediums do not like press, or rather the risk of negative press. They're a religion that has been brought to their knees over and over by this kind of press. So while it doesn't feel great, I sort of understand why. So after I order my soup, I go over the possibilities. Maybe I've been brought here to be gently scolded and warned to back off, to be told they're not hurting anybody here, so go away. Instead, by my second cup of coffee, because I cannot stop eating or drinking this whole meal, the dry mouth I have from 4 days of gas station food is excruciating, I realize that I've been brought here to just listen to what this person has to say, not to the history book Casadega treatment that I've gotten on the phone and in real life several times over now, not the skeptic's perspective that you can find all over YouTube, but just listen to someone who has watched and lived inside of a spiritualist camp for over a quarter century. I kind of can't believe my luck. What would the board say? The medium starts by saying this. They don't want to talk politics or personality or anything like that. They'll let me suss that out for myself. Instead, they tell me about their background, one that shares parallels with a few other mediums at the camp. They were once a big corporate success story in another region of the country. They were responsible for millions of dollars of revenue. They had hundreds of employees back in the 80s and 90s, the whole Reagan opulence game. They make themselves kind of sound like a character in Wall Street, at one point refer to themselves as Daddy Warbucks, and it's hard to not hear a little bit of nostalgia for it as we're eating our $6 Perkins sandwiches. They say they had top agents go to Hawaii for 10 days at a time, in the best hotels, parties at the best country clubs. Until all of a sudden, things took a turn. Their business flopped. Their marriage of several decades fell apart. and the medium ended up a shell of themselves with little more consistency in their life than a certificate in practicing Reiki. They don't practice Reiki in Casadega much, the medium was told, but they could get trained in spiritual physical healing if they have some time to kill. At this point, they had nothing but time. And so when a family member fell ill in Florida, the medium came to Casadega and never went back. Stories like this are echoed throughout the camp in different ways. There are a couple of mediums who flunked out of corporate America during this same era and seemed to hope spiritualism would provide shelter from their prior life and beliefs. There are other mediums and community members who were seeking validation and energy after a life of skepticism. I always think of Selena, the bookstore manager, who was raised by two skeptic NASA parents. There are other members in Casadega who are recovering from a life in fundamentalist religion, like the events coordinator, Jamie, who was raised Southern Baptist and was Southern Baptist well into her adult life. Some of these people stay close with their families, others find it harder to do, but in Casadega, you're welcome to come and go as you please. And that's the best and worst thing about the camp, the medium reminds me, as Shiny Happy People plays softly in the background. God, no one is wearing a mask in Florida, and the elderly keep bragging about it like it's this amazing thing. But the medium wants to tell me that this freeness to come and go is part of the problem. Young people don't want to get trained in Casadega. They want instant gratification on everything. Not like the old days. I don't have the heart to tell them what kinds of things young people are preoccupied with these days. But once the medium starts talking, they don't seem to want to stop. They tell me all about their 25 years in Casadega, about the books that got them excited when they first moved there, the channel texts that inspired them, people they had connected with, their medical malpractice lawsuit pending, a huge artistic dream they have that they're asking Spirit to manifest for them this coming summer. They discuss the types of people they've met in Casadega, lowering their voice when they categorize them. The healers who stay, the healed who leave, and the ones who get addicted to a sense of power and control. They shouldn't be telling me this, they say, but they can't seem to help themselves and keep talking. Those people who own the overpriced shops outside the camp, they say, laughing, are imperfect, perfect children of God, Jamie. Okay, I shouldn't say that, the medium says again, but as long as there's pie on the table, it's nice to be talking to someone, for both of us. I hadn't realized how lonely I'd felt this whole week and also month and year. For all the ghosts swirling around, it's very easy to feel lonely in Casadega. Families don't come there. It's almost a running joke. People come on their own when they need to be healed for something. The medium takes a long look at me and asks a question I've never been asked before, and I hope no one ever asks me again. They say, Jamie, do you believe that you are a perfect child of God? I reply, I think I know the correct answer, but no. I barely went to Catholic Church as a kid, but I guess it's just kind of an inherited degenerative disease that you can get secondhand. Like, am I more damaged from my dad smoking Winstons inside or by being raised by lapsed Catholics? Not doing that math problem, not today. The medium laughs and says, don't worry, I am a perfect child of God. In spiritualism, children are born with infinite potential. And even when you go astray, you still hold that infinite potential. And through you, infinite intelligence, their God, can be channeled and exist. They tell me they like their job. They like making people feel better. It's not about money for them anymore, or at least it shouldn't be. Things were a little precarious for the medium, maybe, but they seemed pretty zen about it. They seemed sure that it would work out. They felt that it was better that they were in this life in Florida than their last one as Daddy Warbucks in the Northeast. The check comes, and we drive back into the vortex.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Later that night, I fall asleep listening to the tarot readers at the Hotel Casadega, having a glass of wine on the patio above my room, room 1, and I draft a text to send to the medium the next morning, like I've just gone on a date, which I definitely have not, but I type out, "Hope you have a good week if we don't cross paths before I leave tomorrow." Very cool. And I prep my green text to send the next morning. The answer comes back very quickly. So quickly, in fact, that I feel ageist for being shocked. It says, "Are you hungry?" Oh my God, what? And 10 minutes later, I'm back in the car and we're headed to breakfast. This friendship ends up being about 60 hours total, but it's this gentle and really kind one. At breakfast, when we run out of things to talk about Casadega, I tell the medium about myself, the kind of work I do, my family, my Uncle Dennis. We get dinner at Perkins, we get breakfast somewhere else. They take me on a tour of their home where they do readings. Really old house, high ceilings, this slice of Northeastern architecture on Seminole land. There were framed paintings of their mentors and their spirit guides. Honestly, if I came anywhere close to finding a spirit guide in Casadega, it was this medium. Someone who led me directly to a BLT and 2 overeasy eggs when I needed them the most. And after a day or so, hanging out, getting recommendations of what to look at the camp, where to meditate, where to just stand and try to collect my thoughts before leaving the next morning. It's my last night in Casadega. My new friend, the medium, isn't available for dinner, but after days of waiting, I finally have a food option in the area. On Wednesday nights, Sinatra's Ristorante at the Hotel Casadega is open. So I invite my only other friend in the entire state of Florida, the girl I knew from unionizing who had come to a table tipping class less than a week before. A lifetime ago, before I knew which old medium specialized in physical healing and which was a skilled channeler and which was just basically overcharging. It feels so good to see my friend and just someone from the outside world in general. We order Sinatra's marinara sauce pasta and it's not great. It's hard to hear each other because there's this hired pianist blaring music of the night from Phantom of the Opera as regulars, mostly middle-aged couples from Florida, order refills of wine and sing at volume 5 million. In spite of everything, it's super fun. And of course, after a week, she wanted to know, what did I learn? Is it real or not? I don't know how to answer the question. And while I'm trying to think of how, my phone buzzes with another green text. The medium is offering me a ride to the commuter rail that almost gets you to the Orlando airport at 4:30 a.m. the next morning. I think about it a little more and I tell her, I'm not sure. And maybe going to one more message service will clear it up. We part ways and I walk back down the street to Colby Temple one more time to attend the Casadega Wednesday night message service. I've been to a message service before. It's when a medium stands in front of a group of around 40 people and channels spirit by approaching people and saying, hey, I have a message for you. And then they begin to describe a ghost or a traumatic event that has happened to you. And either it resonates or it doesn't. A man is presiding over this message service. He's got a great reputation in Casadega. I really enjoy hearing him speak. And on this night, he's kind of on fire. There's three different people who break into tears when Joy comes to them and describes a lost parent, a lost grandparent, and in a particularly stirring case, someone's lost son. But when he comes to me, nothing is connecting. It doesn't make sense. No, I'm not a scientist. No, I don't even understand scientific language. No, I've never had a little white dog. No, neither of my parents are sick right now. It's not always going to be a hit, but I leave discouraged. And when a couple in the lobby of the Hotel Casadega who recognize me from the service say, hey, dog girl, what do you think? Is this real? We came from Daytona. Should we, like, get a reading tomorrow at the hotel? I tell them, between you and me, they say the real shit's across the street, but it's your $40. I go to bed, all packed, listening to the card readers arguing about the same exact guy as last night, but a little bit louder this time. The next morning, before the sun comes up, the medium is outside the Hotel Casadega, waiting for me with a hot coffee and a bear claw from the gas station. We drive to the train station and talk about the rest of our week, and as we pull into the commuter rail car park, the medium kind of hesitates and asks if I have time to wait for the next train in a half hour. I do, and I also want to know why they're asking. Is it finally my time? I'm way overdue to be killed by a stranger. But it's not my time. Instead, we park, and they hand me this green folder with a message written on the tab. To Jamie, from the medium, love and hugs on your journey. Inside this folder is a typed document that spells out the medium's philosophy on life, on Casadega, on the failed American experiment, on a lot of stuff. I don't want to call it a manifesto, but it's kind of a manifesto. It's like a friendly manifesto. The document was titled, and I do feel the need to say this person is white. You'll see why I have to clarify that in just a moment. The document was titled, I too have a dream. Anyways, the medium and I talk a little bit more about a failed small business on the Finger Lakes, about wishing they saw their grandkids more, and eventually the next train comes. They give me a hug and say, I'll always have a friend in Casadega. and I'm going back to Florida next week, so I wonder if it's true. I've not heard from the medium since, but ever since returning from Casadega in February and commencing work on this show, I've tried to keep up watching the official live-streamed Sunday services and lyceums, that educational talkback portion that comes before the main service. For the most part, I enjoy them. It's pretty calming background noise. And for a long time, up until 2021, for over 30 years, the Casadega Lyceum's been run by a guy named Reverend Dr. Don Zanghi, formerly, like the medium, an upstate New York business owner. But Reverend Dr. Don Zanghi's business was a martial arts studio. He is a fascinating guy, easily in my top two Reverend Doctors. And I don't like to play favorites with my Reverend Doctors. His fashion sense absolutely reflects the fact that he used to own a martial arts studio, and although he is no longer the formal Lyceum director, he's there quite a bit and always seems to be a welcome presence. He's a bit of a rarity at Casadega. Reverend Dr. Don is more open to incorporating other religious ideas into his brand of spiritualism. He's studied under gurus. He's encouraged students to learn more about Buddhist principles to test and challenge themselves and their beliefs. No real rules. His talks tend to be pretty chaotic and fun, and so I was surprised to see that this past Sunday, he announced that he was leaving Casadega. His house had already been sold. He was moving to Mexico in the middle of July and was starting his next chapter. Things are changing in Casadega, and his reflections on the camp, where it had been, where it was going, were really humbling to hear. So here they are from Reverend Dr. Don's mouth himself.
But as many of you know, it'll probably be my swan song as I make plans to leave camp, sold the house, and if all goes well, I'm moving to Mexico. So I don't know that I'll be around much longer. Now, I meet a lot of people in camp, you can imagine over the years. And somebody said, oh, this is my first time here. I said, you better be careful. My first time, Father's Day, and I never left. Now, for many people, spiritualism in general, here in Casadega, they stay focused on the tradition and the science, philosophy, and religion of spiritualism. I'm all in favor of it. Those are some of the best people, some of the best teachers, some of the best mediums. I love it. Others, like me, tend to go out and still searching for all kinds of neat stuff, still centered in Casadega spiritualism. That's just my nature. I did it in martial arts. I studied with the master. I studied here, but then I studied all kinds of other things to add to my base information. It can be a huge door opener to worlds that people out there are never going to tell you about because they don't even know it. And if they do know it, they're going to tell you it's bad, it's evil. Well, we've heard that more than a few times. Lyceum has been a favorite thing of mine. Why? Everything here is. I'm sitting here telling you 31 years is wonderful. Difficult, but wonderful. But Lyceum has been my deal. I did it for so long, and helping them finally one day the board said, well, just give me the title of director, be done with it. I don't care, whatever. Questions?
Reverend Dr. Don ends up falling back into his normal pet subjects. He goes on about the natural laws of the universe for a while. He reflects on his time getting to know people through the Lyceum program. But at the end, he says his time in Casadega is done, and so he's leaving. It's kind of that simple. To put it in the medium's terms, he is healed, and he is leaving. It's quiet for a second, and then someone in the room speaks out.
Don, thank you for being a wonderful teacher. I really appreciate you, and I'm going to miss you tremendously.
Thank you.
And then he says goodbye to a room full of mediums who he's been a part of daily life for over 3 decades.
Do your best at all times. I don't know how else to end it, but I want to thank everyone for being here. I want to start crying. I thank the pastors back there and the board for keeping Lyceum alive. That's all I got. That's all I'll say. Thank you.
Things are changing in Casadega.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiritualism is a movement that may always be in financial peril, but even when specific camps are struggling with membership, with money, with generational conflict, the popularity of spiritual ideas and messages from the beyond are not going anywhere, whether you like it or not. And it's such a massive world to explore that there was a lot I wasn't able to fit into just 9 episodes after months of research. Helena Blavatsky's Theosophy and all the issues therein, other spiritualist camps in the U.S., including the one nearest where I live in Escondido, California, where a healing service in the sun brought me the closest I've ever been to believing in everything. There was my day at the Arthur Findlay Institute, a college in England funded by J. Arthur Findlay, a former president of the Spiritualist National Union in the 1870s, It's the only spiritualist university that is still operating regularly, and it runs courses on site and on Zoom today. I took a course with them called Communicating with Spirits, and it was absolutely packed, mostly with the casually curious, the internet spirituals. How can I learn about my aura? Are the tools they use on TV real, or can I go intuitive? I discovered there had been a spiritualist church founded in my hometown in the late 1800s, and sent my dad to where it's currently located and is struggling. There are the YouTubers that channel spirit through crystals and tarot in a way that can be maybe a little amateurish at times, but is also an example of how to bring spiritual ideas to a massive young audience in an accessible way for free. These videos tend to be calming, encouraging, body positive, pro-mental health. They're not hardline spiritualism as it was founded in 1848. It's not particularly Christian adjacent. They use cards. There's no 4 to 6 years of training. But the ideas in these videos and in these courses reflect what spiritualism always claimed to be about self-acceptance and connecting on this plane and whatever the fuck else plane, of guidance and self-improvement and generally feeling less alone.
So we're going to go ahead and take a look at what comforting, loving message spirit wants to give you. So first and foremost, I see the card that jumped out to me is soul family. Somebody has really backed you into a corner and made you feel silly for believing what you believe. But what spirit is saying is that you're actually at a point right now where your soul family is coming together.
I hate the argument of who cares about spiritualism because it's not real. Yeah, most religion and spiritual practice isn't real, dipshit, but its effect on people is. I think the only yardstick worth using here is whether it hurts people or not. And spiritualism certainly has over the years. It's a deeply imperfect movement with a complicated legacy. Without it, we wouldn't have great things like Jungian dream analysis or some of the basis of therapy, essentially a mental medium. Without spiritualism, we also wouldn't have the burden of celebrity medium scanners, nor the appropriation of Native American culture that does nothing to properly acknowledge or include Indigenous people. On the other hand, without spiritualism, we wouldn't have Ghostbusters, but it would have spared us from Theosophy. The pros and cons are infinite. American spiritualism came in a moment defined by forward momentum and all these ideas catching at the crosswires, at a time where science and magic could coexist, where women could be leaders, but Black and Indigenous women could still be subjugated, where the laws of nature did not apply, but if you turned the light on just enough, the laws of nature sometimes did apply. I said in the first episode of this show that I've been mourning my grandfather, who passed away a few months into the research for this show and a week before it started airing. I haven't heard from him. I don't know that I will. And don't get me wrong, I've listened very closely to all the Reverend Doctors, but no spirit guide in a cape has come for me yet. Do you want to take one more walk with me? I have one more place in Casadega I really want to show you. A place that is as silly as it is sincere, and it captures, if not proof that spiritualism is real, proof of how it makes people feel. It's called the Fairy Trail. It's right next door to the library and two doors down from where the Reverend Dr. Lewis Gates practices. So, come on, one more walk. The Fairy Trail is another site around the camp that the mediums are understandably frustrated with the optics of. It is, for all intents and purposes, an overly sincere selfie trap, a place where casual and mostly younger tourists come to take photographs in front of the highly Instagrammable painted fairy wings. Another trap, one I have taken a picture in myself, is a pastel painted winged fairy throne. There's a fairy trellis. Maybe lounge on the fairy bench and have your boyfriend take a picture of you there. The Fairy Trail is goofy. It's somewhat aesthetically pleasing, and it's an anarchically curated area of the woods that I kind of can't help but love. The mediums think it's all a little beside the point, and they're not wrong. The fairy trail has nothing to do with the religion, but I really love it. It's such a showing of raw sincerity and emotion, and even a desperateness for magic to be real and communication with the dead to be authentic. But the people who come to the fairy trail go deeper than that. They go there to resurrect lost love, to leave anonymous pleas, to mend friendships, to leave totems from themselves or people who died that they loved. Some people even leave mixtapes and CDs of their shitty music or tape their half-rained-on anime drawings to trees. What I am describing to you is a pile of garbage in the woods, but it's very sincerely curated garbage, so it also qualifies as a free outdoor museum. The camp fruitlessly tries to hold back the flood of sincerely offered garbage with polite but firm signs. Things like, take only memories, leave only footprints. Please do not clutter or deface the park or its structures. Good fucking luck, folks. The teenagers and mother-daughter teams I see carving their names into tree bark and leaving wet envelopes begging their husbands to come back to life on stumps when I visit each day have more time and more determination and more sincerity than any underpaid medium at the camp. On my way out, I pass a Polaroid of two teenage girls with an arrow pointing to one that says RIP, of large rocks that have been turned into symbolic headstones, names and dates and quotes, a poem about the death of a friendship that went from 2010 to 2021. I'll always cherish the warmth you put in my heart. You were my best friend. Till 3005 do we part. There's hair ties, there's crystals, there's seashells, there's crosses, there's graffiti reading, love me back, please. There's a street lamp that doesn't work. There's a height marker going from 3 to 7 feet where visitors have marked themselves and their children's height with dates, initials, and messages. There's, of course, a minion toy, no shit, and pictures and pictures and pictures of dead Floridians. I go to the fairy trail at least once a day when I'm visiting Casadega. It has the least to do with the camp, and yet it is the best part. The crickets are screaming at the top of their little insect lungs as tourists chatter and walk past the library. I dream about the fairy trail all the time, and in every dream, I'm just walking through, looking at things and reading things and walking right past the library and going back to my hotel room where I ask my spirit guides to help me sleep. And that's Ghost Church. I hope you've enjoyed it. I don't make stuff to tell people what to believe and what not to believe. There are plenty of shows where you can be told what to believe and why you're an asshole if you want to believe it, or why you're a genius if you don't believe it. The spiritualists have not always practiced what they preach. There have been oversights and exclusions that reflect very poorly on the religion and the national culture that the religion sometimes rebelled against and was empowered by. It's uniquely American in that it calls itself American, but heavily borrows from other cultures. It's uniquely American based on the fact that it's so shaped and defined by how the media received it. It was formed partially in response to the rigid Christian values that are shaping the decisions of the Supreme Court more so now than ever. So, in their fight against American religious indoctrination, spiritualism failed, buried by its contemporaries in still relevant movements like Mormonism. Like the medium said, spiritualists aren't really recruiting, and never really have been. They'll take you to dinner, they'll take you to breakfast, they'll take you to the airport, they'll tell you what your dead grandma's up to, and they'll never even listen to the podcast you spent months making about them. They're both bothered and unbothered. And yet, they are still there, over 125 years later. They are still there, in Casadega, Florida, in Lilydale, New York, in Lake Pleasant, Massachusetts, surviving on others' curiosity and on their own belief in spirit. As the medium told me, most people don't want to commit to the lifestyle, the years of training, the burden of proof, the occasional press circus, the Florida of it all. I know I couldn't, but I also know how much comfort I take in difficult moments with the little spiritual practices and routines that they taught me. So if you're the sort of person to dump on people who believe in spiritualism or spiritual ideas, ask yourself why. Is it hurting anyone? Sometimes the answer will be yes, but often it won't be. Is it bringing someone peace? If it is, and it's not hurting anyone, what are you mad about? And babe, have you checked in with the man in the cape that follows you around all the time? I hear he's pretty smart. Uncle Dennis, take it home.
Your mind and your body will tell you what you need. You just need to listen to it. And that's what spirituality is. It's not about praying to a deity. It's not about doing a certain ritual. It's not about being a certain way. It's about the fact that you understand that you were born as a manifest creature and you were born with a soul. That soul is your spirituality. You just have to remind yourself that you're that spiritual person because we're not taught to do that. How can we? Okay. We're thrown into a world of manifest. It's what we eat. It's what we taste, touch, feel, see. We're inundated daily. Right. So I would say to you, listen to everybody. I tell you, go to these things, listen to these people, and understand that 95% of them are full of shit. Not because they're being cruel, and they may very well believe what they're telling you. But the bottom line is there is no one way. You have to figure out what's best for yourself. That's how I arrived to where I am. I don't need to wear capes. I don't need to wear all the trappings that prove to people who I am. I am who I am because it comes from inside me. Mm-hmm. It's who I am. It's what I believe. And nobody can ever take that away from you. Take everything, even what I say, with a grain of salt. You have to find, there's one thing in life that's a fact. You have to find your path by yourself. And it's not a path you can walk with anybody. And it's not a path that anybody can take you down. They can help you, but you've got to find it for yourself. And that's why people don't like me.
So, to conclude, the world is on fucking fire, so don't exploit anyone and talk to as many ghosts as you want. And whatever you do, do not come back to life as a dog cop. Bad Puchinsky. Thank you so much for listening, and let's play that theme song one more time. One last huge shout out to the amazing team of Ghost Church, our producer, Sophie Lichterman, absolute legend, the best. Shout out to Robert Evans of Cool Zone Media. Gigantic shout out to my incredible editor, Ian Johnson, who also did voices on the show and is just an all-around incredibly talented and patient person. Shout out to our amazing fact checker, Mary Stephen Hagen, to everyone who's contributed their voice, and of course, to Speedy Ortiz, who wrote that amazing theme song that you just heard. Shout out to my spirit guides, Don and Helen. This show is dedicated to my grandfather, and he would have hated it. As for me, you can listen to my other podcasts, my Year in Mensa, Lolita Podcast, or ACCast. I have a weekly podcast called The Bechdel Cast. And other than that, you can buy my book about hot dogs called Raw Dog. It comes out next year, so just follow me on social media and hope I don't have a mental breakdown there. And finally, thank you so much to the mediums of Casadega, Florida. Bye!
Hey girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.